singing the hymn 204, the hymn 204. Let us sing of his love once again, of the love that can never decay, of the blood of the Lamb who was slain, till we praise him again in that day. It's a lovely old gospel hymn. We'll keep our seats while we sing the four verses of this hymn. Good to know we don't fight in our own strength, but we fight in the strength of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're glad to have in our meeting the Reverend Raymond McLernan, and we're going to ask our brother to come and to lead us to the throne of grace in prayer.
Let's unite our hearts together. Let's bow in God's presence. Seek his face for his blessing. I encourage each one to pray. Aye, and can we say, if you're not saved tonight, you especially should be praying. Lord, come. Speak to my heart. Let's talk to the Lord. Our gracious God, loving Father in heaven, it is indeed with rejoicing that we bow in thy sacred presence. We come not in any merits of our own, for we recognize within this flesh there dwelleth no good thing. But we come to thee in that name that's above every name, the name of our Savior and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank thee, Lord, we live in a day of gospel opportunity. My Lord, it causes us to marvel that in this scene of time where sin abounds on every hand, here we are, Lord, every one of us born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And where sin abounds, we thank thee that grace doth much more abound. But Lord, we marvel tonight that the one thing that mankind needs more than anything is the one thing he doesn't want, God's salvation. Lord, we thank thee for this anthem of praise we have opened our meeting with tonight. We thank thee this power in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse the vilest of offenders from all sin. Thy truth, the word in thy truth is, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Not just some of it, but all of it. Oh, we thank the Lord, whilst we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, yet there's hope tonight. We know that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And Lord, we think that we're in a place where men and women, young people, can receive of that gift, can know the joy of sins forgiven, can have peace with God, can take their first steps on the pathway that leads to heaven and home. Oh, we thank thee for these days, Lord, when thy word has been proclaimed even in this house. Thank you for those who have gathered night by night. We thank thee for the faithful proclamation of thy truth. Men and women have been confronted with the issues of eternity. Thank you for those who watch online. Oh, we pray, Lord, whatever the circumstances tonight, that there might be something happen. It's that dear soul who is without Christ might come to recognize, maybe as never before, I'm the sinner for whom Christ died. Oh, we thank thee that God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Not believing in ourselves, not believing in a life of good works, commendable though they may be, but trusting solely in the finished work of Calvary. We thank thee, Lord, thy word assures us, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But thy word again makes it plain, ye must be born again. And so we ask, Lord, that thou bless this meeting tonight. Cause every dear soul to come to an understanding of his need. You have to recognize we're not guaranteed any length of time. Indeed, thy word would show us we can't even boast of tomorrow. We don't know what a day may bring forth. Some poor soul might leave this scene of time tonight. And if he leaves this scene of time without a Savior, he'll be lost forever in the caverns of the damned. Oh God, this is serious business. We thank thee that it's not thy will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We pray, Lord, do that work within the hearts of poor sinners tonight. Help them to understand that they are sinners by nature and by practice, but there's one who loves them, one who died to save them. We thank thee that Christ took our place on that middle cross at Calvary. There he paid the debt that was due. He took our place, took our sins and our sorrows, made them his very own. And we thank that he has bought peace with God for those who will receive him as a personal Savior. Oh Lord, to whom else can we turn? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Bless the meeting tonight. Bless the ministry and song. Bless especially the preaching of thy word. May thy servant know special liberty tonight. The infilling of thy Holy Spirit with wisdom. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt take that word, carry it home to the hearts of all who hear. Maybe, aye, for all we know, Lord, maybe somebody will be hearing the message of the gospel for the first time. We don't know, but thou knowest. And we pray that thou wilt open blinded eyes. Take territory from the devil tonight. We pray that thou wilt set souls gloriously free. I know that some might be born of God, aye, even this very hour. Bless thy truth. Extend thy kingdom, we pray of thee. And grant, Lord, that this night glory will be brought to the Christ of God as sinners come and make their peace with thyself. Bless the meeting. Remember those boys and girls who were in earlier. We thank thee, Lord, for the word that was shared with them. We covet them, every one, for thee. Pray that early in life each one will come to know the Savior, and that even through them parents and friends might be reached also. Lord, we just commit our time to thee and pray that thou wilt undertake in every detail. Grant that in all things Christ himself will be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.
Do thank our brother for leading us to the throne of grace and prayer. And could I give each of you a very warm welcome along to our meeting this evening. We're glad to see you, and we trust that you'll be blessed as you hear the word of God this evening. Could I give a very warm word of welcome to Pastor Dennis Lyle and Pastor Paul Ferguson. We're glad to have them with us in the service tonight as well. Please do remember the meetings. Just two more meetings left tomorrow night. The service at 8 p.m., Mr. Stephen Anderson will be with us to minister in song. Of course, we're not letting Mr. McCrae off light. He'll sing tomorrow night for us as well. And then the final meeting on Friday evening, and that again is at 8 p.m., and the Walker sisters will be singing in the service on Friday night. There is a season of prayer. If you can come early, please come join with us in the back hall at 7:30. We had already tonight the Beeline meeting here in the church, and it was lovely to see over 90 boys and girls in under the sound of the gospel. So we ask you to remember them as well. And do pray, if you're a child of God, pray for the meetings. And we encourage you even to use these last couple of nights to invite others to come and to hear the good news that Christ is able and mighty even to save. Very glad to welcome again our brother, Reverend McCrae. We've been richly blessed through his ministry and song and through his preaching night by night. And we're going to ask him to come now and sing to us.
Yes, my name's written there on the pages bright and fair. Yes, my name's written in the book of life. If you want to be up there, then down here you must prepare, or your name it won't of life. Get down on your knees and pray. You from sin must turn away, or your name won't be in the book of life. If you want to be up there, then down here you must prepare, or your name it won't be in the book of life. Don't you know that Christ was sent, that from sin you could repent, and your name could be in the book of life. You will have a great surprise if you fail to recognize that your name, it must be in God's book of life. Get down on your knees and pray. You from sin must turn away, or your name won't be in the book of life. Don't delay and don't forget that from sin you must repent, for your name will be in the book of life. If you want to be up there, then down here you must prepare, or your name it won't be in the book of life. Yes, my name's written in the book of life. On Calvary's hill, an ark has been built, trusting the blood of God's Son. With its door open wide, others safe inside, anybody who will may get on. Come into the ark, the sky grows dark, there's a storm called God's great judgment day. From his fierce, angry waves, in the ark you'll be saved. Come into God's ark today. Soon to walk and to walk, you'll hear the last call, then the door of God's mercy will close. Opportunity then will come never again. How soon 'twill be only God knows. Come into the ark, for the sky grows dark, there's a storm called God's great judgment day. From his fierce and in the ark you'll be saved. Oh, come in to God's ark today. From his fierce, angry waves, in the ark you'll be saved. Oh, come in, come into the ark today.
We thank our brother for those messages and song, and it is our prayer that if you're not saved, that you might come into the ark of salvation. There is in Christ all and more than you could ever possibly desire. Could I just mention at the end of the meeting, because of COVID, we'll ask those in the center pews just to leave first, and then those in the side can filter out after them, or if you wish, you can go out through these doors at the side. We're going to sing another hymn together, the hymn 197, 197, Tell Me the Old, Old Story of Unseen Things Above. This hymn was written by Catherine Hanke way back in January 1866. In fact, she was just recovering from a very serious illness, and that comes out in the hymn because she says near the end of that verse 1, "For I am weak and weary." But of course, if you're not saved, then in our natural condition, we're all weak and weary. And more than that, we're helpless. But there is one who is mighty, one who is able to save. And we trust that you might come to know him as your Savior. We'll keep our seats again. We're singing just two verses off the hymn. Going to ask the Reverend McRae to come and to sing to us and then to bring the Word of God. God bless.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved.
saved thus far, and God's grace will surely lift me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun,
Bibles this evening in the book of the Acts of the Apostles on the chapter number 16. Let's open our Bibles together, please, and we want to thank you for coming and joining with us this evening for our gospel service, and we pray that God will meet with us and God will speak to our hearts and bless us as we indeed open the scriptures. It's certainly good to see my two senior brethren down here on my left-hand side. And we have junior brethren in other parts, but with two senior brethren down here, it's lovely to see you. Thank you for coming. It's certainly a pleasure to have you here in the gospel service. But we're reading here in God's precious word in Acts chapter 16, and we'll commence reading at the verse number 25 because of time. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Just to change our positions, let's stand for a word of prayer. Let's stand together. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. I pray, O God, that thou will help me tonight to be faithful in the proclamation of it. Help me to rightly divide the word of truth. Help me, Lord, to just preach the word that thou hast given to me. And help me, Lord, to be faithful in doing that. Lord, we ask of thee that you'll cover me, in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, protect us from all the attacks of hell tonight. And in the Savior's precious name, O God, endue me with that power that I need to preach Christ in all his beauty, in all his glory. I pray this for Jesus' sake.
Amen. Amen. You know, I believe it is a solemn responsibility for any man to be called of God to stand before a congregation and take God's word in their hand and to tell the congregation that I have a message from God for you. And as I stand at this Wednesday evening gospel meeting, I feel the burden of that responsibility before God. I believe that God has laid in my heart this evening a message that has the theme simply of salvation or being saved. Now, let me make it very clear at the very beginning tonight. There is no new message or there is no new way of salvation. I want to tell you clearly tonight, the messengers, because of the passing of the years, may change. But the message is still the same. And this book speaks to me from Genesis to Revelation about God's great plan of salvation. Do you remember Spurgeon's text? You know that word saved, and many preachers seem to run away from it. Spurgeon's text that God spoke to his heart was, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Do you remember whenever the angel came to Joseph and he said to him, he said, "Thou shalt call his name," that is the name of the Lord Jesus, "thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." Their sins. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "I am the door," that is Jesus Christ, is the door. "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." The Lord Jesus also said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." You remember the Lord Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, and we think about the words, "Ye must be born again." But the Lord Jesus Christ not only told him that he needed to be born again, then he gave to Nicodemus the plan of salvation and how he could actually be saved. And we know the verse 16, John 3. But verse 17 says, "For God sent," and this is the Savior speaking again, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." Peter, standing there, and he was preaching in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, he said these words. He says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we," listen to it, "we must be saved." Paul, whenever he was writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." And then he said in Romans chapter 10 and 1, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." So therefore, I'm telling you, when you come to God's word, this word is repeated over and over again concerning God's salvation. And so it is important for a man who stands in the pulpit to tell his congregation about God's salvation and about the necessity and their need to be saved. I want to speak on that subject, being saved, tonight. Three simple headings. First of all, why do I need to be saved? And then secondly, what must I do to be saved? And then thirdly, what will happen if I remain unsaved? Now this is simple. But I trust that you'll catch this tonight. I pray the Spirit of God will write this in your heart, because this is very important. So the very question, first question is this. Why do I need to be saved? This is fundamental. For a person to come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, because if you don't know you need to be saved, then you won't be saved. Do you remember the question that was asked of Paul and Silas? Do you remember Paul and Silas, because of their testimony for the Lord Jesus and because of preaching Christ, that they were thrown into prison and put in the inner prison, and their feet were put into the stocks, and their backs had been beaten, and the lights, there was no light there in that inner prison, and they were just thrown in as if they were the outcasts and rubbish of society. But God shook that prison that night. Friend, not only did God shake the prison, God shook the jailer. And praise God, my friend, as God shook that prison and the jailer saw that the prison doors were opened, and he thought that all the prisoners had fled, and he realized that this would cost him his own life if that was so. And he was about to kill himself. And Paul cries out with a loud voice, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." God worked another miracle, kept all the prisoners in. And we're told that the jailer came and he sprang in trembling and he fell down before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and he asked them this question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That's verse 31, or verse 30 that we read tonight. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, friend, listen, think of the question. What must I do to be saved? But here's what's lying behind it. This man realized he needed to be saved for to ask that question. He asked him, "Tell me, how can I be saved? What must I do to be saved?" But for him to ask that question, he had to realize, "I need to be saved, and I want to know how." I remember when I was 8 years of age, I called on the Lord to save me. I remember going in from that mission. It was in the Monday morning. I went to school. I remember sitting at the desk with another lad in school. And I turned to him and I said to him, "Joe, I got saved last night." And to be honest, friend, listen, he looked at me and stared at me a moment. He said, "Saved?" And this is true. Do you know what he said to me? "Why? Were you drowning?" He hadn't a clue. He hadn't a clue concerning God's salvation. Now go back, my friend, to the message of the angel of the Lord to Joseph. Saved from what? "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." You see, friend, there's the problem. There's the problem that man needs dealt with. And the sad reality is there's so many tonight, and they're absolutely ignorant concerning salvation, and they in no way understand the seriousness of their condition before God. And sin doesn't bother them at all. Why? Because they think it's not serious. The doctor was to turn to him and say to him, "You have cancer." I'll tell you, they'd think it's serious, wouldn't they? Well, God says to you, "You're a sinner." And yet you're not bothered. It doesn't seem to trouble you. Because you see, my friend, you think that you're good enough. Or I'm not as bad as others. Or this phrase, "I never did anybody any harm, and therefore I wouldn't need to be saved. What do I need to be saved from sin for?" Remember Pilate? You remember Pilate stood before the crowd, friend, and he held up his hand, he washed his hands, and then he held them up before the crowd. You know what he said? He says, "I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See ye to it." And the Bible says, listen, after he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Listen, Pilate wasn't innocent. And sinner, neither are you. You may wash your hands tonight as if that you are piously saying, God, what he's talking about is somebody else. No, friend. God's mirror sees you not as innocent in your sin. God sees you as guilty. But you say, how do I come into that? Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says this, for there is no difference. For all have sinned. Get that little word? For all have sinned. Friend, that includes you and me. And come short of the glory of God. That same chapter in Romans chapter 3 says, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. But you say to me tonight, that's everybody else but me. I'm not in that. But friend, listen. On the day of account, you stand before God. And God says, all have sinned. And yet, my friend, you're challenging God. Not me. Not me, preacher. Everybody else, but not me. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. But that's not true about me. And it is. And I'll tell you how serious your challenge is when you say, not me. Just keep your hand there. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. And in 1 John chapter 1, friend, it says in verse number 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive God, others. That's not the word. We're deceiving ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. In other words, we're lying to ourselves. We're giving to ourselves a false hope and a false security. Which the wind of God's judgment will sweep away in a moment. It's a refuge of lies. Go to verse 10 of the same chapter. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. We're calling God a liar. Tell me, is there a man or woman will dare stand in this meeting tonight and challenge God Almighty and say, God, you're a liar? And yet God's word says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word's not in us. Why? Because God's word says, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned. And let me tell you, my friend, the devil said to Eve in the garden, you know, Eve, look at that fruit and you can take it. But you know, God's holding out on you. God really doesn't want you to have that fruit. And you'd become as gods if you would take that fruit and Adam would take that fruit. And God says, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt not surely die. That's what the devil said to her. Tell me, who was right? Was it God? Or was it the devil? You know what Jesus called the devil in John chapter 8. He says the devil's a liar. And he's the father of it. And the sad reality is tonight, men and women are supping at the devil's spoon because it pleases them to think, I'm not a sinner. But God says, if we say we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar. And his word's not in us. That's how serious sin is, friend. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men. Why? For all have sinned. Now, I don't know what the doctor's diagnosis of you, your heart, is tonight. He might say you have a strong heart, but I want to tell you, God's diagnosis is something different. And it's found in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. And this is God's diagnosis of your heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? You can't imagine, friend, the awfulness of the sin of your heart. You say, not me, preacher. You know, I do righteous things. God says there's none righteous. No, not one. There's no righteousness of ourselves. Thank God there's the perfect righteousness of Christ, which is reckoned to the person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But of ourselves, there's no righteousness. And in Isaiah chapter 64, it says, all your righteousness are as filthy rags. In God's sight. And that's what men and women think they're going to offer God in the end of the day. God, I did the best I can. And God says, all your righteousnesses. That's all the best you could. Just filthy rags. Tell me, do you dare offer that to God tonight? You say to me, preacher, I can't see this. I can't feel the seriousness of sin. If the doctor was to tell me I had got a deadly disease, I could feel the seriousness of it. Or if he wrote it, I could see it. Why can't I see it? Why can't I feel it? Well, friend, the answer's in the book. Why can't you see it? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. You're blinded. The God of the world. Who's the God of the world? The devil. And the devil's busy at work, friend, as he was in the Garden of Eden. The devil is busy at work. And he's blinding the eyes of men and women, lest the light of the glorious gospel would shine in. But you say, but I can't feel it. Well, I'll tell you why. Because Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Spiritually, the sinner is dead. Let me ask you this. If you pinch a dead body, will it feel it? If you push it, will it respond? You know the answer is simple, friend. No, it won't. Why? Because it has no feeling. It's dead. And the sinner left to himself is dead. And they can't feel the seriousness. And they can't see the seriousness of it. But God says in Isaiah 59, Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Put a barrier between you and God, friend. And tonight in your sin's that barrier between you and God. And it says, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. And left to yourself, that's the way you'll stay, except it be the intervention of God, the Holy Ghost. Spirit of God has got to work. That's where conviction. Conviction's not the preacher standing in this pulpit, friend. The preacher can't convict you, but the Spirit of God can make you uncomfortable. The Spirit of God can convict you. The Spirit of God can open your eyes. The Spirit of God, my friend, can really touch your heart and stir your soul. I remember some years ago, a wee woman sitting in one of my meetings. She went out through the door very angry. I noticed her just when she was going out through the door, and I noticed she had her finger under her daughter's nose, and she said this to her daughter. She said, "You'll never do that again. You'll never make a fool of me again." She says, "Mommy, what do you mean?" She says, "You told the preacher all about me. And don't you ever think you'll make a fool of me again." She says, "Mommy, I never told the preacher a word, and neither she did, friend." It was the Spirit of God. She says, "I'll never be back." And friend, the truth is this. She never was. Because shortly after that, that wee woman was lying alone in her home in County Tyrone. And the angel of death visited. And she was taken out into God's eternity. She had heard her last gospel message. But she didn't know. It's serious business, friend. Sin, when it is finished. And it always will. I don't care how much sin you get. You might love your sin, but I can tell you this. Sin, when it is finished. The pleasures of sin, they're only for a season, and they'll come to an end. And the Bible says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. A separation from God forever. And the Christ is hell. The wages of sin, the payment for sin. What does a sinner get in the end of a life of sinning? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin. It's death, separated from God for all eternity. That's why do I need to be saved? Because of your sin. You need to be saved from your sin. Remember the question that was asked. What must I do? He was saved. That's a question that the Philippian jailer asked, friend. And let me tell you, the answer, if left to yourself, you can do absolutely nothing. If the Spirit of God doesn't trouble you and speak to you and convict you of your sin, friend, you'll go out tonight the way you come in if you're unsaved. Because of yourself, you can do absolutely nothing. Why? Because you're spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. And you can do nothing to save yourself. And even if you could, your works are useless. Because God's word says, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. And friend, even it was your works, that the works of a sinful soul. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness as we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Not by works. And there are men and women, let me tell you, and day after day, they're trying to work their way to heaven because many of them have been told by their preacher, do the best you can. That's all God could expect of you. Let me tell you, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ did not leave heaven's glory to make you savable. The Lord Jesus Christ did not leave aside heaven's glory and come down into a sin-cursed scene of time and go to a crossed-up Calvary to help you to save yourself. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. The lovely old hymn, we have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Praise God, he's still doing it tonight. He's still able to save. He's still mighty to save. He's still willing to save. He's a God ready to pardon. And it's because you can do nothing for yourself, friend. That's where John 3:16 comes in. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5 and verse 6 says, for when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5 verse 8. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the good news. That's the way of salvation. Friends, salvation's not in the church. Salvation's not in the preachers. Salvation's not in some creed or ritualism that you've learned from a child. Salvation's not in your baptism or dedication or confirmation. Salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. And if you miss Christ, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're turning your back on heaven and you're going straight to hell. For Jesus said, listen to me, I, Jesus, am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, thank God, salvation's free. But salvation for the sinner was purchased at a great price in the coinage of the precious blood of Jesus. He was a Scottish doctor. He was well known for his generosity to the poor. And after his death, when his books were opened, it was noted that in his books, when they were examined, books of accounts, written across in red ink, forgiven, too poor to pay. Whenever he died and his wife was looking through his business accounts, and she saw all these accounts that were not paid, she thought that she would call them in. She took it to the court. She stood before the court, and as the judge looked upon the accounts, he asked her a simple question. He said, madam, is that your husband's writing in red ink? said, yes. She says, is that your husband's signature? Yes. Well, he said, madam, there's not a tribunal in the land that can obtain the money where he has written forgiven. Forgiven. Let me tell you, thank God in the books of record of my life, thank God has written forgiven. Blotted out, never to be remembered against me anymore. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath God removed my transgressions from me. That's what the word of God says. Didn't say as far as the north is from the south, east is from the west. Immeasurable distance. Can never be measured, friend. What that means, that God removes your sin. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Salvation is not obtained by works. What must I do to be saved? There's an old man was dying, and the preacher came by his side and he whispered into his ears, coming near the end. He says, friend, have you made your peace with God? The wee man opened his eyes and says, peace! Have I made my peace with God, sir? It would be too late. He says, 2,000 years ago, God's Son, through his blood at Calvary, made peace. Satisfied all the demands of God. And I have peace with God through the blood of Jesus' cross. And he says, I believe it. What must I do to be saved? What was the answer, friend? Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, put your whole weight upon the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross for you, the sinner. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, praise God, I'm healed. Healed. Notice what happened. It said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And then it says, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord. They took him to God's word. That's why I love to, if a person wants to be saved, I love to gather with them and show them from God's word. Get them God's word. It's not the promise of a preacher. It's the word of God. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. And friend, he's the one you need. Thank God you take the promises of God. You know what God's word says? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word call, cry out. Child's cry. Child cries out to his mother or daddy in need. Daddy, mommy. And you know their need. Well, God hears the cry of the sinner. God, save me. I perish. And immediately the Lord will stretch forth his hand, friend, and praise God, you'll be saved. It's only Christ. But as I finish tonight, what will happen if I remain unsaved. There's an old Welsh preacher. He's about to start a sermon. And he looked into the eyes of the congregation. He says, "Friends, I have a question to ask you tonight. And I don't know the answer." Then he said this. He says, "If an angel was to come from heaven, they couldn't give the answer to either. He says, if a demon was summoned from hell, the demon couldn't give the answer, nor the devil himself. And he says, the question is found in Hebrews 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" And there's no answer, and I'll tell you why. There is none. No escape. The Lord Jesus said, after coming and visiting and working amongst the people, he said this, because he rejected him, he said, "Ye will not come to me. Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." And then he said, "I go my way. I'm leaving. And you'll die in your sin. And where I am, you can't come." Who's saying that? The lovely Lord Jesus that went to Calvary's cross and hung on a tree and shed his precious blood, the sinners would be saved. Yet he said, "You won't come." He says, "I'm leaving. And he left them in their sin. And he says, "Where I go, you can't come. And whosoever was not found written," Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, "whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, into hell forever." Listen, friend. He came to save you and me, the outcasts. Reject him, and you'll be cast from him into hell forever. Somebody say, "Preacher, I don't believe a God of love could do that." Let me tell you, friend. It's your sin that takes you to hell. And that's the sin you loved. Why do I need to be saved? What from? My sin. How can I be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him and his finished work. Thank God you'll be saved. But what will it mean if I remain in my sin? It means you're lost in hell forever. I beg you in God's name, don't go home unsaved. You say, "Can I come tonight, preacher?" Yes, you can. The lovely Lord Jesus with the nail prints in his hand beckons you, "Come, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Peace with God through the blood of his cross. Charlotte Elliot wrote the words, just as I am without one plague. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Will you tell the Lord that tonight? Will you come? Ere it be too late. Let's pray. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, thou knowest every man, every woman, every person that's gathered here in this meeting tonight. Thou knowest their spiritual condition. Thou knowest those that are saved and those that are unsaved. Thou knowest those that are ready and unready. Thou knowest those that are prepared or unprepared. For thou, God, seest me altogether. Please, Lord, O God, by thy Holy Spirit, convict men and women of their sin and bring them in repentance to Jesus. Lord, save them. Friend, as your head's bowed and eyes are closed, why not call on God to save you now? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You cry, Lord, cry, Lord, save me. Cleanse me. Lord Jesus, in your precious blood that you shed at Calvary. Lord, I repent of my sin that turned from it. And by faith, I receive thee as my Savior. Will you do it, friend? O Lamb of God, I come. We pray in Jesus' precious name.